Welcome to the NLP Master Practitioner Training Collection. This training series was recorded at a live Master Practitioner Training in Los Angeles, California. As you enjoy the series, perhaps you can imagine yourself with us in the training room going through the live training. Now, it's time for your personal transformation. Welcome to your Master Practitioner Training. It's a pleasure to see all of you out here in beautiful, sunny California. Just a wonderful day here at the Portofino Hotel, and it's a pleasure to see all of you here. Today, what we're going to be going into is the next level of NLP. How do you proceed from where we've been to where we want to go? And some of the concepts that we'll be presenting are familiar concepts, and then I think we're going to present some new concepts to you that'll shake up your model of the world just a little bit. So as we begin our Master Practitioner Training, one of the things that we want to do is look at what is this thing that we're here studying and that we think that we want to become Master Practitioners of. What is this? Because I'll tell you, my mother still doesn't know what I do. My mother has no idea what I do. Like, she'll ask me sometimes, she'll call me up, she'll go, "Christopher, what is it that you're doing anyway?" She knows I'm doing seminars or something like that, and I say, "Well, Mom, I'm a master trainer of neuro-linguistic programming." And she says, "What?" Yeah, my father does the same thing, actually. He's in real estate, and he's like, "You're a master," he's like, "You're a what?" Can't quite wrap his mind around it. And I think part of the challenges we're coming up through NLP is that people will sometimes ask us what it is that we're doing. And has anybody had that experience where somebody's asked them what it is that you're doing and you haven't had a clear, succinct way to explain it? Who's had that experience? Yeah. It's like, what are you doing? You're spending 2 weeks doing what? So I think that it would be a good place to start our Master Practitioner Training as we move into this to wrap our minds around a clear, easy, succinct way to explain what it is that we're here doing. NLP has as many definitions as it does have people practicing it. Some people describe, in fact, Richard Bandler, who was one of the co-creators of neuro-linguistic programming, described NLP as being an attitude and a methodology that leaves behind a trail of techniques. Okay, so what's that all about? The attitude, he says, is the attitude of curiosity. You know, because of course NLP was discovered by watching experts doing what they did and getting real curious and saying, how did they do that? How did they do this result that appears to be magic? You know, you look at any type of result out there that appears to be magical, and we can replicate that using the tools of NLP. Now, they started with this attitude of curiosity. So it's like, how does the expert do what they're doing? And then, of course, in the beginning, we know that they started with therapists. They started with Fritz Perls, who did Gestalt therapy, Virginia Satir, who did family therapy, and Milton Erickson, who was the world's foremost psychotherapist, from my perspective. He was a psychiatrist, and he also used Ericksonian hypnosis or trance to create change in the people that he was working with. So the attitude, as described by the co-creators of NLP, was an attitude of curiosity. Like, how do they do what they do? You know, what's going on there that allows them to produce this magical result? It's kind of like a quick story to start. You may have heard this story before. Some of you have, some of you haven't. There's three priests. Some of you have heard this story. Three priests, they're going fishing. So now two of them were regular fishing buddies, and one of them was new to the mix. So the three priests go rowing out into the middle of the lake to go do their fishing. And they're out there, and they're fishing for a little while. And then the two regular fishing buddies decided they wanted to go back to shore to get a sandwich. So he said, we'll be right back. We're going to go back to shore. Now the new guy was sitting in the boat, and he sees the two others get out of the boat, walk across the water, and walk back to the shore and break out their sandwiches, and they start eating them. The third priest is sitting in the boat. He's going, wow, that's amazing. How did they do that? And he said, wow, what a miracle. He said, this is a miracle. It's magic. He said, you know what? If they can do it, I can do it too. And he sat in the boat for a while, and he started to pray. And he really started to pray. He said, dear God, help me to walk on water. He said, I know I can do it. If they did it, I can do it. If they did it, I can do it. And he sat in there and he started working himself up. Finally, he steps out of the boat and whoosh, sinks underwater. And then he sinks. And the other two are sitting on the shore and they're watching him. And they said, do you think maybe we should show him next time where the stumps are? So what this 2 weeks about is about showing you where some of the stumps are. Showing where some of the stumps are. Because any magical result that somebody produces has a structure, has an underlying structure to that magic. And when we find out what that structure is, we can make that replicable. And that was the initial precept or concept that they launched the whole idea of neurolinguistic programming and the whole field of neurolinguistic programming on, was that if we started with that attitude of curiosity, we could look at a magical result. And then through the methodology of role modeling, we could then find out what it was that allowed them to produce that result. We're kind of like, what are the stumps? Find out what was it that allowed the expert to produce that result, and then we can make it transferable to somebody else. And of course, there's a trail of techniques. Remember, it's an attitude and a methodology that leaves behind a trail of techniques. The trail of techniques is what's traditionally taught now as NLP. So if you go to an NLP, if you come to take an NLP training, the trail of techniques is what's traditionally taught. Now, what we do is we take what the expert does and we turn that into a technique that can be transferable to somebody else. For example, rapport. Milton Erickson was where rapport first became obvious to us. Rapport is the process of matching and mirroring. But and Milton Erickson said that anything's possible in the presence of a good rapport with a client. Now, rapport and hypnosis was always defined as being that magical, mystical state wherein the subject listens only to the sound of the operator's voice and responds only to the sound of the operator's voice. But it was never told how we could do that process of rapport. So what they did when they were originally studying Milton Erickson was they got curious first. And then they said, okay, with the technology or the methodology, rather, of role modeling, how can we break down rapport and make it transferable, turn it into a process that we can give to somebody else? And they started watching Milton Erickson's videos, and they found that, sure enough, he was doing certain things that led to the magical result of rapport. They would watch videos, and they noticed that every time the client would move, he would seem to move as well. And then he would move, and the client would seem to follow. And they said, rapport can be recreated through the process of matching and mirroring. And they turned that into a process, and now that's one of the trail of techniques that we teach inside NLP. So we could look at NLP as being an attitude and a methodology that leaves behind a trail of techniques, but that takes a little while to explain, doesn't it? I mean, people are saying, hey, so what is this NLP stuff? Well, it's an attitude and a methodology that leaves behind a trail of techniques. Here we go. Okay. Now, I've heard other definitions as well. Bandler also described rapport as being the study of subjective experience. I think that the study of subjective experience really nicely identifies what NLP as well is as well, rather, because everybody has a different experience of the world, and we'll talk about that more as we get into some of the quantum physics. But everybody experiences the world in a different way. Some people experience the world as being an abundant place where they're lavished with riches. Others experience the world as being a poor place where they live in poverty and they got to struggle from day to day to pay the paycheck, to pay their bills. Other people experience the world as being a vital, exuberant place with lots of health and energy and great relationships and connections, while still others experience it as being a struggle. So the question becomes, what determines how one person experiences the world versus how another does? And that was what Richard Bandler looked at as being the study of subjective experience. And how can we take that subjective experience and make that transferable to somebody else? So how can we literally take charge of what appears in our world by taking charge of the structure of subjective experience inside our own mind? Or how do we teach somebody in a way that we actually help them to change their subjective experience of the world? That's also NLP. Now, once again, it's a bit wordy and it's a bit challenging to describe NLP in those terms to somebody that's coming in and has no grasp of what NLP is. See, how about this? Let's try this definition on. NLP is how to use the language of the mind to consistently achieve your desired outcomes. That's one way we could say it. So NLP is how to use the language of the mind to consistently achieve your specific and desired outcomes. NLP is how to use the language of the mind to consistently achieve your specific and desired outcomes.